Radio Gorgeous, the sexist station where you'll only hear the female voice.
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she...
With summer approaching and the scary subject of swimwear about to be on our minds, meet our gorgeous entrepreneur, Jo Godden. She is founder of Ruby Moon, a company that specialises in ethical designer swimwear. Jo, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
It's lovely to be here.
So tell me about Ruby Moon.
Ruby Moon is an ethical and sustainable swim and activewear company. We use sustainable fabrics and we make swim and activewear with a social and environmental purpose.
I see. So tell me, how did it all come about? Why did you set it up?
I'd worked for about 20, 25 years, hate to say it, in large corporate companies, mainly in America, manufacturing swimwear and lingerie. I'd always worked in that field. And I decided I wanted to make change both in my personal life and also in the kind of garments and manufacturing.
Tell me a bit about that, because you've travelled to lots of places where we don't even think about it, and you've saw lots of people making garments, particularly bras and underwear for people, and we don't really normally think about it. But tell me what you found.
So even in the most the companies that claim to have the most sort of ethical compliance, there is an awful lot of abuse going on of the workforce, and also environmental damage in the mills and the fabric processing. Chemicals and dyestuffs are just spilling out into the water supply without check. Once I visited a factory in southern China where most of the world's lingerie is made, and it was a state-of-the-art facility.
Is it in a city or was it...
So, no, it was way out in the boonies, in a paddy field, miles from anywhere. And all you could see was paddy fields for miles and miles around. There wasn't a village or a town anywhere. And this was a state-of-the-art facility, as I said, with thousands of sewers making bras.
So thousands of people, so huge warehouses, right?
Huge concrete warehouse filled with women, young women, Chinese women. And they ate, slept, worked there, basically. They showed me all the facilities. They showed me the workrooms. They showed me the dormitories where they slept.
Then so they live and sleep there all 24/7?
24/7. All the leisure facilities are basically a couple of ping pong tables, and they have all their three meals a day in that canteen.
Wow. And these are the women that are making all of our bras and pants that we buy from most places.
Absolutely, yes.
And do they ever get to see their own families? Where do their families live?
So I actually asked about holidays, and I was told by the factory manager that they have they have one holiday a year, which is Chinese New Year.
One holiday?
One holiday, which is 10 days long. But unfortunately, as the factory manager explained to me, it takes 2 or 3 days for them to get back to their villages in northern China where they're from, and then 2 or 3 days to come back again to the facility in southern China. So in total, they're probably seeing their families for, 5 or 6 days max.
That is absolutely shocking. So when I'm standing next in the high street about to go on my summer holiday and think, wow, my bikini's fallen apart, I need to go and get another bikini, and I stand in the changing room mirror, as we all do, feeling slightly weeping, going, oh, it looks awful. I actually really need to have a moment and remember that actually somebody over the other side of the world has got a very, very different raft of problems to me. And it's a shocking statistic, isn't it?
So it is. However... because they, I would say that if you're going to be in sewing bras, that is pretty good conditions.
Really? That sounds
compared
horrific.
With somewhere like Bangladesh, where you're actually putting your life on the line in some of these factories that they manufacture there.
That's absolutely shocking. And so do you think most of us ignore the ethical cost of fashion? Because it's starting to become something that we're talking about more and more, isn't it? But I'm not quite sure we're kind of there on underwear and swimwear. I'm certainly not. Until I met you, I was like, wow, I didn't hadn't really sunk in. So we need a bit of a change of behaviour, don't we, Ruby?
We do need a lot of change of behaviour because basically we just can't go on manufacturing the way we are now. We don't have the resources. The world is running out of resources and we do not have the ability to just carry on manufacturing like this. We need to think about where the fabrics are coming from and where the labour is coming from. We don't, here in the West, we don't pay the true cost of any of our clothing. The cost is borne by the people manufacturing and producing cloth overseas, because they're paying the true price of the environmental and social damage that's occurring.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And it's shocking. I mean, it's a shocking statistics that we're talking about, and women over the other side of the world just having terrible lives and being slaves to making stuff for the West. Tell me about how your company Rubyoon helps, Jo. What have you been doing to help these women?
There's two things that we do. First of all, we only source our fabrics in Europe because we can make sure that they are manufactured in a safe and transparent supply chain. The fabrics we actually use are developed from used fishing nets, or ghost nets as they're called. They drop to the bottom of the ocean and they're just left, and they cause huge marine pollution, which means that this really affects our biodiversity on the ocean floor. Because I don't know if you know, but by 2048, if we continue to pollute our ocean and overfish as we do, there will be no marine life left at all.
No marine life left at all?
No fish, no dolphins, nothing.
Nothing. So we do have to have a real think about how we use these materials, and certainly for those enormous fishing nets. So you recycle these into sort of fabric that we're using.
Yeah, we use the nylon.
Yeah.
And that is a European operation. So basically 43% less carbon emissions per swimsuit. So that's an environmental benefit anyway. Then we also donate all our profit to women entrepreneurs in 11 developing countries.
Wow. So tell me about some of them.
These are very small-scale businesses which allow women to create their own income. In many of the countries that we operate, or Lend With Care operate, Lend With Care is the charity that we lend the money through.
Yeah.
Women don't even have rights over their own children. So when you empower a woman by giving them a way of earning their own income, the benefits are far reaching in the community, because it's shown that women invest more in the important things when they have an income, such as housing, education,
And looking after their children, and looking after the family, and giving other women jobs, and so it grows.
Absolutely.
And but it's just giving them that initial startup, really, isn't it? To give them the power to be able to do it. So that's an amazing achievement. And I'm really interested in what you're doing most recently, because you've brought along the Zarina multi-sports bra, and the Zarina is named after one of your ladies that you've helped across the seas. Tell me about her,
and tell me
about the multi-sports bra.
That's right. So this, we've called it Zarina because we named it after one lady in particular in Pakistan. She has started a business with a loan that we gave her. She recycles knitwear.
Wow.
So she takes apart knitwear and then it all gets put back together into new knitwear. So it's kind of like what we're doing on a different scale in Pakistan. And we decided to call our new product, which is a multi-sports bra, which can be used for both low-impact sport and swimming. And we decided to call it after her because we name all our products after the women that we invest in.
Wow. So that's a really lovely story. Talk me through why the multi-sports bra is so good, because you can go from the gym to the pool, back to the gym. But what's it feel like to wear? What's it made of?
It's made of the fabric I was talking about earlier, which is the fishing net nylon.
And that's good quality.
It's really good quality because it's been respun. Basically, it's five times as durable as a normal nylon lycra swimwear fabric that you'll find in the high street. It's a performance fabric, and it's also got extra life lycra in it. So it's going to last you five times as long as anything else you can purchase.
So that that is a real incentive for me, because I hate going swimming, wear shopping. But also it's lovely to have something that's really good fabric and that fits really well and is very flattering. And you've made it look beautiful. So tell me about how you've designed it.
We've designed it that it's got a hidden sling inside the bra, which means it limits bounce. So, for instance, if you're doing low-impact exercise of any kind, whether it's Zumba or yoga or anything else, but also it's really supportive, and we're going up to a size G.
Because women's sizes have changed, haven't they? And you've done quite a lot of research about this.
They have. You won't be surprised to know, ladies out there, that the average bra size now is a D. So we have developed this bra so that people with small backs as well, or small underband size, from a size 30 to a 30G. So we've gone up to the G size, which is something we found was requested quite a lot.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
So it will fit lots of people. And actually, it's very flattering because it looks not like my horrible sports bras, most of which, I have to tell you, are kind of off-white. And they're horrible, but it's actually something that I would be very happy to strip my top off and jump into the pool with. It a very good looking garment. What stage you're at with it, because you're crowdfunding, aren't you? Tell me about that.
Yes, so it's funny you should mention that, Joe, because we also did some research about what people want from a sports bra, and they actually said they're sick of looking at really ugly sports bras with all the seaming on the outside. So we decided to make something that's aesthetically pleasing as well. And the way we're bringing that to market is we're funding it through Indiegogo, and it's basically a pre-purchase of the bra.
So you go on to Indiegogo, you purchase the bra, and that's going to raise funds for you, and you're going to do what with them? So you're going to...
The profit we're going to make out of this particular initial pre-purchase is going to take us to market, and we're going to actually show for the first time at the big lingerie and swim show in France in the summer.
So it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you've got a price point of £45 to £50, which sounds quite a lot of money, but as we know, it's five times more durable than anything you're going to buy on the high street. And it looks great, so you're going to wear it for ages. What's your ambition for it? Because it's not luxury, is it?
No, I think it's fairly easy to be ethical and have a transparent supply chain when you're in the luxury market. We have been fighting to keep our price points down so that we can offer this to as many women as possible. So what I would say, it's in the affordable premium price point, £45-50, and we wanted to try and make it attainable to most people. Bearing in mind that, as you say, it's an investment piece that you'll wear for a long time. And I'm hoping you'll really love it as well.
I'm sold. I'm getting one. So I go to Indiegogo and I find the Zarina Multisports bra and go from there. Jo, I wish you very much best of luck in the future. It sounds like a brilliant product. Tell me, Jo, what do you think we can do to be more ethical and more aware?
I think as women we have a responsibility, you know, as you mentioned, to the women on the other side of the world, because, you know, one in six people globally is employed in the fashion trade, and most of those are women. So our behaviour, our consumer behaviour here is really instrumental in affecting what changes can be made in the manufacturing world.
And it has a massive impact, doesn't it? But all changes have to come from home, don't they? They have to be personal changes. So what can I do to stop this or to make a change?
So how we spend our money is really important, because it affects, as you say, the sourcing supply, really. So we need to choose wisely how we spend our money. If we talk to retailers and tell them that you're only going to, you know, purchase certain things if they can guarantee that there are good manufacturing conditions, that makes a big change in the way big companies source, because they're not going to change unless we force them to change. But other things you can do are to purchase quality items rather than fast fashion, and make your garments last longer by caring for them or passing on to others afterwards. I think we've all got, you know, investment pieces that we just wear over and over again that we love. And if we can try and purchase more of those, it makes a huge difference in the amount of waste that's happening all around us, really.
Yeah, that's the thing. Buying good quality, is it? And making sure that you don't, you look after the clothes that you have. Actually, a friend of mine said once, we always complain about what you're going to wear, that a moment you open your wardrobe and go, oh, I've got nothing to wear. And her mantra is, there is always something to wear. You know, we all always have something to wear.
Yeah. We have too much to wear, really.
We really do have much to wear. We should swap clothes more as well.
Yeah, that's a really fun thing to do. My friends and I often do that. And you get complete new wardrobe and you haven't paid it a penny.
Yeah, that's the way forward, isn't it? But thinking about when you're standing in the shop, worried about how you look in a bikini, that is very much a first world problem. And have a spare of thought to the women on the other side of the world. I certainly will be doing that in the future, but I will be wearing my Serena multi-sports bra. Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you, Jo.
Thank you. And if you are interested to see the crowdfunding, please go to our website, which is rubymoon.org.uk/blog.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for radiogorgeous.com. Get in contact with us, contact us on info@radiogorgeous.com, and to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling?
She was afraid to come out of the locker. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out. She was afraid that somebody would say,
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, so in the locker she wanted to say,
2, 3, 4, stick around, we'll tell you more.
Bum, bum, bum. She was afraid to come out in the open, so a blanket around her she wore. She was afraid to come out in the open, and so she sat bundled up on a shelf.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny
stick around, we'll tell you more.
Now she's afraid to come out of the water, and I wonder what she's gonna do. Now she's afraid to come out of the water, and the poor little girl's turning blue.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, so in the water she wanted to stay.
From the locker to the blanket,
from the blanket to the shore,
from the shore to the water,
guess there isn't any more.